design.adp.com.
Support for WMNF. WMNF Tampa, the best little station in the whole damn nation. Support for WMNF comes from you, our wonderful members in Florida Southern College, encouraging visitors to experience the world's largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture with a guided campus tour. Tour reservations and details can be found at flsouthern.edu/FLLW. Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in to 88.5. Thank you for listening to WMNF. You are listening to Art in Your Ear. My name is Joellen Schulke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the mostest. It's true. I was going to say I'll fight anybody, but I'm not in a fighting movie. I'm a lover, not a fighter. If you want to hear that Janelle Irwin midpoint again, you can go online at WMNF.org and go to programming and hit on that page and you will find her and be able to listen and get in touch with her and all that good stuff. Did you know that the Circle of Friends is the best way to support 88.5? Monthly supporters are the backbone of WMNF. Give online today at WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001 and thank you. We just got our goals for the upcoming fund drive. We're going to be raising money on October 3rd. Clyde Butcher, the magnificent hero of the Everglades, artistic giant Clyde Butcher, will be on Art in Your Ear during the fund drive. So make sure you tune in, please, for that. You can support us if you want. That would be wonderful. But listening is really important, too. So thanks for that. Coming up on today's show, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to some of the cast and the producer of Meteor Shower. It's a play written a few years ago by Steve Martin. It's up at the Job Site Theater. And they just extended the run, so I guess everybody is pretty happy with it. Meteor Shower by Steve Martin coming up, Jepsite Theater, in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, we're going to listen to, I've got some space songs, some other stuff too. Thank you again for listening. If you want to get in touch, you can always email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Take care now. Let's listen to a David Bowie cover. Pedro the Lion. That's Pedro the Lion covering Mazzy Star. Do we have any Mazzy Star fans in the house?
Yes.
I know. I love Mazzy Star.
Used to go to sleep to that.
I know. That album. Song. Oh, the whole album.
The album
is great.
I used to just put it in and go to sleep to it.
Yeah. I you know what? I wonder if that's why I, you know, sometimes you know the lyrics to stuff. You're like, how do I know the lyrics to that? So, thank you for listening. We are your listener, Art in Your Ear, on today's show. We have some of the cast, half the cast, is that correct? Half the cast, and the producer, you got to put it down. You have to put it down.
I'm tweeting this.
Put the phone away.
Okay.
Stay present. We have that familiar voice, always itchy. Do I need to put your phone on this side?
No.
Okay. We have the producer of the show, David Jenkins. And then joining us, I want to make sure I get everybody's names right, because I just lost... oh no, what did I do? I just lost your names. Here we go. And on today's show, we have playing Laura is Amy E. Gray, and playing Gerald is Jamie Jones.
Yes.
Did I have the right characters?
Yes. That is right.
I was so afraid I was going to mix them up. Laura and Gerald, what's their relationship?
We are husband and wife.
Yes.
And how's that going?
pretty good.
Pretty good?
You have to come to the show and see how it ends.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So what is the premise of the show?
To have something as absurd as possible on stage.
Okay.
Sorry.
What we're trying to do is maybe make people to want to go see the show.
Oh, of course. It's a Steve Martin play.
Right.
So when you think of Steve Martin, and we've done his previous shows, Underpants and
Picasso with the Lepanagile.
Yes. He loves to do absurd comedy. So what we have is an evening between two couples. One couple has invited another couple over to their home to watch a meteor shower. But when they all get there, things don't go quite as they expect.
One of the things, and you know, I remember seeing Underpants, and I think I went in with an expectation, since it was Steve Martin, that it would be funny and absurd, but also there'd be pathos to it, that he is a very humane writer. Mm-hmm. And though I'm not sure, is that true for Meteor Shower?
You know, it's funny. I've actually had this conversation with a few people here recently, because on one hand, you have like the people that are like, man, I love the show because I just came and laughed for like an hour and a half and it was great and I just laughed so hard and it was wonderful and yay. And then, you know, there are those people that are like, I came and I laughed, but then like at the end, I was like, I was expecting something deeper.
Deeper.
And that's, you know, I mean, maybe an unfair thing to do, right? Like, are you looking for something deeper out of the jerk?
Right, I know. Well, that's it. Like, which Steve Martin are you getting?
Right, and I guess that maybe that's a compliment to him, because he's so all over the place. When you look at, like, the writing he does for The New Yorker, or, like, some of the bluegrass stuff he's done, or some of the things he's done for, like, NPR, like, some of the, like, so... You know, he fulfills many aspects of the things that he's doing, but I think that it's maybe a mistake to walk into a show like Meteor Shower and look for like super deep
like
significance
underpants.
About right. I mean, the underpants. I mean, right. It's
there
it's,
is
it's,
no social redeeming value except we laughed our asses off.
Right, and we laughed about like some underwear. Right, and so I think that you know. But although at the same time, if you walk into something looking if you walk into something looking for it, you'll probably find it. And maybe you know, if you've been a married couple for the past 20 years and you've been pretty miserable, there is actually something.
Even if you've not been miserable, there's still things that you will find, because in the end, it's about relationships. And there are some wonderful little moments that you're like, I see us in that, or I can see how we have gone through something like this. So there are moments that you can take away, but I still tell my friends, I'm like, just come and enjoy.
Right. There's twerking and eggplant jokes.
Yeah.
So like,
even for a show that is so ridiculous and so funny, it is extremely smart. Like, the comedy is very smart. It's a bunch of little wit bombs constantly. A lot of the jokes are just, you stand and you say the line and that will get a laugh regardless of how you deliver it, because it's written funny. More so, I would say, I was also in Underpants. More so than Underpants. Underpants relied real heavily on sight gags. But this show is very specific, like, bang, 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 joke, 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 one after the other.
So one of the things, and we've discussed on this show and heard and stuff like that, is that comedy is harder to do. Timing, comedy sometimes is harder to do as actors. Paul Potenza directed this, so I know he knows how to direct comedy. He's good at that. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's harder to do than it is drama, because comedy requires a timing sometimes that drama doesn't. And I don't know if that's true or not. I am not a theater professional.
I think it's true. It's by and large true, because in drama, you're mainly just worried about what's happening between the bodies on stage. So there is a timing, there's a rhythm, but it has a little bit more give to it than maybe a comedy does, because the tension, the thing that's happening in a high comedy like this and like farce, it's not just you and the other people on stage, but that has to be super taut and precise, because there are physical things that are coming, there are words that are coming, and so the timing is more dependent there, because you also have to factor in the audience and to give them space to laugh, but not give them too much space to where you're mugging about it, and then make sure you're not stepping on the laughs on the other hand, because then they're going to stop laughing.
Yep.
And so that makes it, that is where the challenge really, it's a higher level.
I want to talk more about that, because that's something I don't understand as an audience member, like how you guys know when to resume. You know, when there's laughter.
It is a ride. It is a wave. You have to figure out where it crests. And it's totally a feeling. Our first weekend, we were figuring it out. And like, we had an audience for previews, but it was, every audience that first week was completely different.
Oh.
So it's also making sure that you're not caving into, but this is what we expect them to do.
And also, it seems to me that even with previews, that you're also working out a few other things besides knowing when to resume. You know, I mean, that's what previews are for, is sort of like getting that energy back and understanding how to use that energy and things. I mean, I know it's more than that, but so you're saying that you can sort of like, okay, all right, now we know when
you
it's to
feel,
re-begin.
Like you feel the audience as soon as they start to let go of that laugh, that's when you jump in. But every audience is different. So you have, as the actor, you have to be listening. You have to be listening to each other, listening to the audience, because if I zone out, which you can't, but if you do zone out at all, you miss it.
What if you start cracking up?
Which we did.
Yeah, and this is a show, actually one of the funniest things I saw on opening night, again, just as producer, I came in and out of the rehearsal process, but there was a moment on opening night that when one of the actors cracked, I literally lost it. It was at the end of the show, and I mean, I'm crying in the audience, and it becomes one of those like Tim Conway, Harvey Korman moments where, like, on one hand, I could have, because, you know, theater people fake that sometimes in shows where it's not really a break, but they plan it on purpose to get it, because the audiences eat that up and they love it. Audiences love to think
that
they saw this mistake. No, I know it was real. and because I had just seen the show the other day, so I knew it wasn't a plant. And that, to me, you know, made me laugh so hard. But if you do crack, you just have to get through it, I think.
Well,
like, Janie, you've got Janelle's rear end in your face.
Yeah.
And
I do.
Yeah.
a lot of the show.
I just want to mention, not Janelle Irwin, broadcaster who precedes me on this station, but the performer and character Janelle, not...
Correct. Janelle Meyer, who plays Corky.
Right, not Janelle Irwin. So, you know, I'm not judging in any way.
And just to add, we're finding more. Like, so what you saw on opening weekend, he and I are finding more spots.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, we both almost cracked at the same time because of this new little thing we found.
Right. Yeah.
And
this is a play that allows for that. Of course, not every play allows for
that. So when you say you found little things, like that's little business that you can do?
Yeah. We were already kind of going there, and then we just pushed it a little further one night, and we found, like, wow, that totally works. And now it's like, it's a little give and take still, but last night there was something added that we both almost cracked.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, and dear listener, I want to remind you that we're listening to an interview about Steve Martin's Meteor Show, which is at Jobsite Theater. It's just been extended through October 6th, and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 o'clock on Sundays, and seven?
Eight
on the other days. So this seems like, his plays seem very rich in being able to add yourself into them, to for the director, for the actors to have wiggle room and get some business in there. In the rehearsal process, and I know David, you're producing, but you've directed comedy multiple times, so you can please jump in. How is it? Like, how do you guys, how does that work as actors to add or subtract or try things? You know, might work for one person, doesn't work for someone else. I mean, will you just talk a little bit about that? Because that is something I know nothing about, and I don't think my audience necessarily knows a lot about how that, how you get to where you are when it gets on stage.
So it's for me, it's a series of edits throughout the whole thing. You start with the show, you get the script, you read the script, you start thinking about how lines should be read and little things. And then you do this show and you rehearse this show for a month every night and you just start playing. Eventually, once you have the lines in your head and everything's good, you can just start playing. And Paul Potenza, who's the director of the show, is great at just giving you little bits of business that you can expand on. And so it's just a series of play. That's, I mean, it is called a play and we play. and similar to what Amy was saying just recently, we play during the show too. So it's little finding little bits of business or being backstage while we're all getting ready and just making a joke about
last night,
one line.
It turned into everyone doing different accents before the show.
Right.
And the stage manager came in and was freaking out, thinking we were literally going to go out on stage.
Oh my
and
God,
do different
that is
accents.
Hilarious.
I do a bad John Cleese, and I put it in the show last night, and it was funny.
Right.
So there is like a sense of improv, it mm-hmm. sounds like, to in the rehearsal process, and very, very slightly, or maybe not very, very slightly, on once it
right.
gets on stage.
And the only thing I would add to this is, yes, improv, but like the thing is like I think I'd like to maybe contextualize it more like improvised music, because when you're musicians and you improvise together, you know the scale you're in, the key you're in, you know what rough, like, so there are rules even within like musical improv, right? It's just not like anything goes, do whatever. There's definitely, you know, you're working within a specific genre, you're working within a specific key, like all that stuff, so that acts as guidelines for people to then be able to, you know, again, to borrow another musical music term, to riff, you know, with things, but you're still within a structure. I just want to, I don't want people
no,
to
no,
think
I
that
love
we're
that
like,
analogy.
Whatever, we're doing anything. Like,
because,
no,
I mean, right. the other thing about right. improv, and from what I've learned, and partially because of you, David Jenkins, and introducing me to the improv festivals and stuff going on, is that there's a real generosity to improv in that it's not, how can I hog all the attention? How can I hog the
right.
laughs? You know, and that's
right.
what it sounds like the business that you're doing is playing off on each other, not like, look how funny I
right.
am, but look how funny we are.
And I want to add, like, during the rehearsal process, Janelle and Jamie have a shorthand with each other. They've done shows, they've been friends for so long, that Jordan and I were able to join in and really get to play off of what they already had set down, and it opened the doors for so much more opportunity mm-hmm. just to bring the funny. And I don't consider myself a comedic actor.
And I've had a lot of feedback from people that have said, you know, I expected Janelle and Jamie to be hilarious because mm-hmm. that's like what they do. And I had no idea that Jordan and Amy could be so funny. They're like great actors and, you know, no one's dismissing their right. skill, but people are like, I had no idea they could be that funny. Yeah. Like,
so I just want to say Jordan Foote is in there and he plays
yes.
Norm, and then Janelle Meyer is Corky.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the other married couple.
Yes.
Are they a married couple?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
They're, and then they're the home that this couple is walking into.
Okay.
Yeah. So between Polly and Jamie and Janelle, Jordan and I were just like, we had all the doors open to just experiment and have fun. And our rehearsals were so much fun. We were getting notes, and during notes, that's not normally a happy time. We were still cracking jokes the whole time. So it was just, it's been wonderful.
So was there anything that didn't make it in that you're like, oh, I wish this again?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few things that Polly was like, nope, you're not doing that.
Because?
Yeah.
It was just like one step too much, and it just wasn't necessary. Mm. Although it cracked me up every time Janelle did it.
Okay.
So there was something towards the end.
There's little things, little things here and there. I will say this cast has been the most giving cast that I think I've ever been in. Just from you're doing a bit, people are completely 100% engaged with your bit, and then they'll add to your bit, and then you'll add to mm-hmm. their bit, and the back and forth for this show has been incredible.
And again, pointing at myself because we're on radio, no one can see that. I did a lot of theater in high school and college, mainly because I needed bodies, not because of any talent that I had.
Right, and you already liked black, wearing black.
Right,
and
I wore black, and I got a lot of roles because my hair was purple and green, and so whenever they needed someone strange, they're like, get the girl that has the purple-green hair. And so it was pretty easy. But, I know mainly from an audience standpoint is that the energy when the cast is in sync, and not just in sync as a cast, but when they're in sync sort of away from, you know, when there is that pleasure of each other's company, that comes through in a play. And mm-hmm. I think it comes through. There was another show at Job Site, and it was one of the Irish plays, where you could just see that everybody really enjoyed being on stage together, even in the serious parts. And that is so invitational to an audience to join us. You know, it's not an exclusionary. Sometimes there's casts that are doing things, and the audience is like, hey, you're the audience, just watch. But when it's like that, mm-hmm. there's like that invitation to be the whole unit.
Yeah. And to me, that's why theater. When people say why theater, like, and that's what the exact phenomenon you're describing is the thing that, no knock to film or TV or watching something on your iPhone, like, that's the one thing that theater can do, like, when you become part of it, that you can't get anywhere else. Like, mm-hmm. that feeling of being in sync, like, when the audience is even there, and it's like, this is this living, breathing thing, and we're all here doing this together, and I'm part of it, and I got to see that person laugh at this thing that they probably shouldn't have laughed at. And like, I'm part of this show, you know, like, hey, does that drink always spill there? Or did I see something special? And like, I really feel like, I think she looked right at me when she looked out into the audience, you know, like there's all that's why I think, you know, even if people don't understand, that's why they keep going back.
And that is, and that is, and I will take this moment to do an editorial statement. People, if you're listening, go to live theater. Support your local theater.
Yeah, go find something you like. It shouldn't be obligation.
Right, but no, do it for yourself. I mean, don't do it to be noble or anything, but do it for yourself, because there's nothing like sitting in a theater and laughing or crying or getting angry or whatever it is in a group of strangers, where all of a sudden you're not a group of strangers, you're the audience, and you have a role, and the audience's role is really important. Is the audience's role different? Like, do you need to have that laughter if you have a line and it doesn't land like you think it does? What do you do?
Oh, man.
We'd like to say it doesn't, but well.
You get to a point in rehearsal process where you need the audience. Mm-hmm. You can't just tread water and do something funny for your castmates over and over and over again. There is a moment where the audience is necessary, and there's a moment where the audience becomes that fifth cast member in this show.
And then what do you, if that point is significantly before the previews, what do you do? Do you like grab people around the rehearsal space and like, can you come in for a little bit? Or what do you do?
I know that I had a few people come in the night before preview just because they weren't going to get a chance to see it again. We try to get our artistic associates to come in.
And coming from the director's chair, it's not that often that, like, you know, it's that far before previews that people are ready for an audience.
We were a week out and we needed an audience.
I don't know about that. I saw that Thursday night rehearsal before y'all went in tech, and I was wondering if y'all could get some extra time in before. See? It's but that's why you have people like us on the other side that you trust, because you can't always trust your feelings.
In all honesty. Right.
But also, maybe that's why they needed an audience, is to help.
See, they maybe needed an audience to tell them they weren't ready for an audience.
That Thursday was our worst rehearsal.
That's what Paul said.
It was.
But don't you need that? Isn't that a theater thing? Like, you need to have that really bad rehearsal. You have to get it out of your system before it's too late.
The theater lore is that it's usually the night before opening.
Right.
But that's the night that everything goes wrong. Mm. But that was our Thursday night prior to tech.
Luckily.
And that was a perfect time, I think, for that to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you, dear listeners, for listening. You're listening to a couple of the cast members and the producer and good friend who are in your ear, David Jenkins. And this is about Meteor Shower, which is at Job Site Theater through October 6th. And you are listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5. So I had asked, and is there a brief scene that you can do to try to give the audience a little bit of a sense of what they might be walking into?
Of course.
Does this need any type of setup?
Maybe. This happens right before the couple, Gerald and Laura, enter the house of Corky and Norm. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of their setup to what they've got planned.
What our intentions are.
Yes. Ooh. Perfect night for it, isn't it?
Lovely. Did they get the eggplants?
Deliver this afternoon.
So, who are they?
I've never met her, but he's handsomest, so she probably is too. That's the way it goes. Good-looking guy, good-looking girl. Not-so-good-looking guy, not-so-good-looking girl. Not-so-good-looking rich guy, good-looking not-so-bright girl. Not-so-bright rich guy, good-looking smart girl. Not-so-good-looking rich girl, macho, light, and homosexual guy. So, how should we do this?
Let's tell them I was obese.
Ha! Nice! That's a good way to start.
Oh, I wish we'd had that one for the Coopers.
The Coopers. The mighty Coopers. Who'd have thought they'd be so fragile?
We can do better.
Yes. Let's go for total collapse.
Total collapse.
So, you're obese.
And you're his problem.
What?
Right.
So, did you have to, when you're reading the script, you know, you got the script and you're like, I'm going to be, say that I was mm-hmm. obese. I can't say the word, it's FCC wrong in my head, so I have to think of a different way to say it. You're kind of mind
yes.
messing with people.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that fun?
To play on stage, yeah. And if you think about the title Meteor Shower, what can sometimes happen with a meteor shower? Not only are we there to see a meteor shower, we're there to cause one. You know, we're there to blow things up. Wow. So, you know, it's our whole goal is to just rip it all apart.
So tell me a little bit more about your characters.
Oh, okay. Gerald is friends with Norm, or co-workers with Norm. He's kind of that loud, abrasive guy.
Gerald or Norm?
Gerald is. Norm is normal. Normal Norm. Gerald is Norm's foil. And that plays out
Can you do this in your John Cleese?
Oh, no. No, I cannot. It is not good. Gerald is this over-the-top, brash figure that gets off on causing people discomfort.
One important thing, a bit of context, because I see the two of them dancing around, and it's because spoilers. But one important thing in context to think about the play is set in the early 90s, and Corky and Norm, the couple that have Gerald and Laura over, are like neck deep in self-help relationship manuals. Like, they're spouting all of this stuff at the beginning of the play about that book they read or this saying from this thing, and they have these rituals where it's like, you know, I acknowledge your feelings, and I know the thing I said upset you, and like then these little couple rituals and stuff like that that they're going through, and they're this like really high strung, anxious, super straight laced normal couple that are terrified about these cool people coming over, because if the cool people come over and have a good time, then they maybe end up being cool, right?
Oh, okay.
So I think that's important to throw out there like sort of the context of who this other
right.
couple is.
So do you guys? Do your characters, Laura and Gerald, think that they are the cool people?
Of course.
Oh, so, 100%.
Okay. Yeah, so, Laura is
fine.
Used to
really?
Be an editor at Vogue.
Right.
And she's just head to toe, just venom.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that she says to Corky, every night I hear the audience gasp.
Is that fun?
It's so fun. I mean, I can be a little bit venomous if I ever need mm-mm. to, but I prefer not to, so right. getting to play it on stage is great.
Right. Well, that's what I would think is, I mean, I think we all have these different parts of our personality, mm-hmm. and to be able to sort of let us one part bubble up,
yeah.
you know, is to get strength from that, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I can do this. So we just learned a little bit more about Laura. Mm-hmm. So she's not doing Vogue anymore. Like, are Gerald and Laura okay with where their life is right now?
I think by the end of the show, that might not be the case.
That's true.
But at the beginning of the show,
yeah.
And so. Then why did they accept this invitation? Was it to torture them?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the premise is that we just can't see these meteors from downtown, and we're downtown people.
Oh, right.
But...
So let's go out to the country of L.A., right?
Ohio.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll go out to the country and visit country folk.
And keep in mind that, you know, this is an absurdist comedy, so... trying to wrap too much linear thought on it starts to work against you at a point.
Because
the play even does a little bit of a thing like Constellations, where it jumps around in times a few points, and then there are people that are like, wait, Constellations, it jumped around in time. Meteor Shower, it jumps around in time. You ended one season and began the next with these two plays. Did you do that on purpose? And I was like, sure, yeah. We're smart.
Well, that's actually I did want to talk about, because this is the first play of the season. And so I do want to sort of talk about how this is fitting in with how you see the season. If there is, you know, sometimes it's kind of obvious, like when you have a season, you're like, oh, this is sort of the overarching thing. And sometimes with job site, you're like, these are all sounding like really cool plays. And I, you know, there's not an obvious threat.
And you know, it's always a little bit of everything, because we read a bunch of plays, we talk about plays, we think about what we want to do. Clearly, we have a relationship with Steve Martin's plays. They're successful. We usually like to start our season off with a bang, with something that's an easy thing to get people into. Like, you know, bringing Hedwig back last year at the beginning of the season. We didn't have to explain that show to anybody. We knew people were going to come see it. And it was a good time. And I think Meteor Shower fits a lot of those same categories as well, that you know, and we picked the tagline we're using for the season is a great reckoning in a little room, which is not only a quote from Shakespeare, but the title of one of my favorite theater books. And so a few people who are season ticket holders, they were like, I was trying to figure out what the great reckoning was that I was supposed to have in the little room on the show. And I said you sat in a room with 101 other people and laughed uncontrollably for an hour and 15 minutes. I was like, that is something we need, right? The play is apolitical. It's not, it's not about a social issue. It's not about, but that act... of sitting in a, having to go out of your way to go downtown and pay for a ticket and park and put clothes on and, you know, whatever, like all that stuff, and sit in a room with 101 other people that you probably don't know, and give yourself over to just being part of something and going for that ride and laughing. It's a good reminder of what theater is capable of, right? Like, without it being too heavy, without it needing to be about a big issue, capital I issue.
It gives space. Like, it gives you space to get through other things. And, I mean, I think a lot of entertainment does that. To me, I'm not a TV watcher, so I think people do get that from TV, but it's still different. Like, the leaving the house is the first thing. When you do stuff outside of your house, that's a different thing. But to be able to interact in the world and not be worried about birds disappearing and, you know, are we going to have a war because there's a investigation of the president, you know, I mean, you know, all this different stuff, just to go somewhere.
Man, like, just come and have a good time, y'all.
Right, just get a break.
And then hopefully if they come and have a good time and get reminded that they can do that, then maybe we can get them back for the rest of the season.
So, we're going to be out of time soon. I just want to mention, what are some of the highlights of the season coming
up? Well, if you want comedy with a bite, come see our next play, which is called The Thanksgiving Play, written by a Native American playwright named Larissa Fasthorse, who wrote this play because she couldn't get any of her other plays produced because they kept winning awards, not because they kept winning awards, but because they featured Native American characters. So anyway, it is a play about four white woke teaching artists who are trying to come up with a play that both celebrates the traditional Thanksgiving story with like the Pilgrim and Indians and stuff like that, and also respecting the truth of what happened to the indigenous populations of the United States.
So she found out, like, if I put four white people in it, I can get it produced, but if I use X number
people
of
say that they don't
Native
have the talent
people.
To cast it. But it's an extremely biting satire, and so people that want their comedy with a message, that's next.
Oh, sweet. And what's a big, usually there's a musical or a big
No musical thing. This year.
Ah, yep. Bold. That's bold. So, because I know that there's always, for me, there's always a play that I've never heard of, and that might be the Thanksgiving. There's often a look to, as this one is, I think Steve Martin is looking like, okay, we've done Steve Martin before, and so again, we have our audience familiar with it. Is there anything that is coming up for job site? You're like, okay, this is one, strap in, and we're going to see how this goes.
The Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy. It's a play by...
Right,
it's a play by Bertolt Brecht. He wrote it about the rise of Hitler and the warnings of what happens when a population becomes complicit with fascism.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. But it's a satire. It's a comedy about Hitler.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's right. So go see Jojo Rabbit and then go see...
Right. And then you can come see The Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy.
Wow. This is very exciting. And then do you all have stuff coming up that we should know about?
I have no plays coming up. However, my day job, I'm a comic book artist, and I have a new book coming out. Next week.
Whoa.
September 25th is the first issue of Quarter Killer comes out, which is a book coming out through Comixology Originals. It's a creator-owned project, and I also have my own creator-owned book, The Baboon, which is now available.
If I wanted to post something, a link to where people could find that information, what would be the best link for me to post?
For Quarter Killer, it would be...
Do you have your own... You don't have your own page, I guess.
I can... yes, I do.
Thanks.
Art of Jamie Jones on Facebook is probably the easiest way to get any of that information.
Okay, I'll do that. That's okay.
Yep.
I was taking you to another place. You were here as the actor, and now I'm making you think about your day job. So, okay. And then somebody hire this woman.
I have about 5 auditions coming up, so here and in Colorado. So I'll be heading back. You can follow my Instagram and see my doggy on our travels back to Colorado. We're going to hit up the Alamo and a bunch in Sedona, Arizona. That's just Amy E. Gray 19. Instagram handle.
Amy E. Grant 19?
Gray 19. Yep.
And that's Gray with an A.
Correct.
19. And then we heard about what's going on for the next play. Is there anything else about JobSite that you want people to know about? Sometimes in October you have an event or
We've got our end of the year. We've got our end of the year rock gala coming up on December 7th. That should be a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun.
And then we cruise into the new year with A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is going to be really exciting. So the only plug I'll make on that is that we're having a full team of aerialists do this show instead of just Katrina, like on the Silks, right?
Right.
So we said, let's up the game on this and see what we can do. So
Just Katrina, in addition to her greatness.
In addition to Katrina's greatness, we'll have 4 other fairies flying on like Lyra and Silks and stuff like that and trapeze. And Jeremy Douglas from the Florida Bee Orchestra, who's also our in-house sort of music director, composer, a soup to nuts, start to finish, complete original score.
So exciting. Please do come
with
back
songs,
for that.
Right? That so we'll have people singing and aerial choreography, and we're getting a new big high lumen projector, and so Midsummer is just going to be a spectacle.
Well, you know, I've played Titania like 3 times.
And we've already sold out every single one of our weekday student matinees for that production.
That's
so
great.
We're scrambling to find other dates that we can do without killing the actors.
And that is wonderful yay school systems and yay getting students in there, because I know that is building that habit. I was lucky to go to a junior high school that brought us to shows. Like, we put on shows, but we went to shows. And I've been a lifelong... My parents were theater goers. I've been a theater goer. Well, thank you all. If you want more information, you can go to the WMNF Facebook page, Art in Your Ear, and find information. Or you can just go online to jobsitetheater.org/meteor-shower and get that. You can get tickets. You can find out more. You can watch all the videos. What else can you do on the website? Do all sorts
of
things.
Lots of stuff, man.
Lots of stuff. And then and that's it. Anybody have any brilliant, smart, anything to tell anybody before we go? I put the music on as to what my music is getting out of this. Oh, we're going to listen to, how about some Amy Winehouse cover? Is that all right? Do we have any Amy Winehouse fans in here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much. Sorry. Thank you all so much for listening. My guests have been the wonderful David Jenkins. Thank you so much for coming back in. Jamie Jones, who plays Gerald, and Amy E. Gray, who plays Laura. Mm-hmm. And I did not get to see the show before this. I'm so dying to see the show. I'm very excited about it. Oops, I lost my cover, so we're just going to go over here and play this. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back with more going on in the neighborhood.
Sleeves and your skull t-shirts. Said, what did you do with him too? final throws. This is when my buzzer goes. Run out to meet your chips and pizza. You say when we marry, cause you're not bitter. There'll be none of him no more. I cried for you on the kitchen floor. I cheated myself. Your lips while I soak my feet. Then you notice little carpet burns. My stomach drops and my guts churn. You shrug and it's the worst to truly stick the knife in first. I cheated myself.
In the background, we're going to listen to Space Golf from Tipsy. There's a bunch of stuff going on this Saturday. What's today? I am so confused about dates. I'm losing my date awareness. Today's the 20th, so tomorrow is Free Museum Day nationwide and also in St. Pete. Free Museum Day. You can go online and get more information. I'll post all that information, too, on the Art in Your Ear Facebook and the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org. But there are many museums around the country and around the area that you can get into. Now, be aware that there are often really long lines, so, you know, plan on the time of getting in there. Also going on this weekend, tonight at 8 and tomorrow night at 8 and Sunday at 3, Crossing the Bay is going to, there's going to be a concert version of Bill Levengood's Crossing the Bay. It's the same crew of people that did the Web City musical and Crossing the Bay, which I was one of the producers of that many, many, many years ago. But it's a fun musical, and that is going to be at the Palladium this weekend, again, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. And you can get more information by going to mypalladium.org/events. Also, there's just so much going on, but let's start with that. Also, I want to let you know, and I thought this is really great, a local author has a book signing, and it is at on tomorrow, Saturday at 2 p.m. at Haslam's Bookstore. Friend and party animal guy, Michael Novella, has a book signing of his book. It's 5 a.m. Go home. Weddings, parties, and events so good your guests won't leave. So it's going to be at Haslam's tomorrow at 2. Haslam's is located at 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. And that's a few things going on in town. Let's listen to this announcement, and I will be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Vinyl from Route 66. I'll be hosting the next edition of the WMNF Road Trip, which makes its first ever stop in Plant City on Wednesday, September 25th. I'll be spinning tunes at the 1916 Irish Pub from 6 to 10 p.m. In addition to some great music, we'll have fun and games, plus there'll be food and drink specials. Route 66 is taking a road trip. It doesn't get any better than that.
And Mike Vinyl, that sounds really fun. And why not head out to that side of our listening area? All right, I've got, of course, we have our summer obsession. It's still summer. Frank, is it not still summer?
As far as the temperature, yeah.
That's right. And I've got Frank Knox in here. He just did me a big favor. I just want to mention, he does a wonderful show on Wednesday mornings from 4 to 6 a.m. called Retro Jukebox. Frank, grab that mic for a second, would you? So Retro Jukebox, do you play the songs chronological order?
Yes, I go from 49 to 69.
1949 to 1969.
I stay in the years.
And then you play a song from every single year, or do you skip a
Three or two.
Three or two.
At least.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So I always think of your show that, and have actually on my, because I donate to WMNF, I have a donors account on the website, WMNF.org, and that allows me to create my own playlist of programs here where I can just start listening and then it plays all the shows in a row. And so my favorite jump there is I go from Retro Jukebox right into Route 66, which is a fantastic grinner. So thank you so much. We're going to listen to a little bit more music, and right now it is my Fats Waller obsession this year, and so we've got a nice Fats Waller show for you. Be right back. Here's some Fats.
Rockefeller started out on less. Everything we touch will turn to clover.
in the magic land of what's to be. But until your baby puts it over, baby, have a little dream on me.
Ever, it's on Broadway. WMNF's tribute to show tunes. Saturday, November 2nd at Skipper's Smokehouse. With the greatest all-time Broadway hits, from the classics to the cutting edge.
Could that someone be Mac the Knife?
Including Hair, Hamilton, South Pacific, Rocky Horror, West Side Story, Grease, Jesus Christ, Superstar. All recreated by a dozen bands in their own styles. Rock, jazz, ukulele, hip-hop, blues, country, folk, and more.
You'll be back like before. I will fight.
The curtain goes up Saturday, November 2nd at Skipper's Smokehouse, 6 p.m. to midnight. Tickets are only $12 in advance. Go to WMNF.org. I did not mean to play that. I don't like listening to my voice. But Broadway show tunes, oh my God, you know, that sounds fantastic. I see Reverend Billy here, so stay tuned. We've got a live music showcase coming up, and then Reverend Billy will be doing Rhythm Revival. Route 66 is at 7. Between that is Bumpy Ride. So great music. Soul Party, Flashback Friday, just great music. Stick with us. WMNF listeners do go out of their way to support the businesses that support community radio. To learn how your business can sponsor WMNF at an affordable rate, contact Laura Taylor at 813-238-8001 or Laura at WMNF.org. Thank you for listening to WMNF Tampa. Thank you for listening to Art in Your Ear. We'll talk to you next week.